Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. Do you know what it takes to be a foster parent? Statistics show that half of foster parents quit within the first year. My guest today is trying to change that. Katie Welch started as an art teacher in the Kansas City public school system, but now uses all that creativity to lead Fosterlight, a nonprofit organization supporting foster youth and their families. She's a passionate advocate, a generous woman, and a visionary leader. Welcome to the podcast, Katie Welch.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
You're very welcome. We're really glad that you're here. Can you just start by telling us a little bit about Fosterlight? What is it?
Yeah, so Fosterlight is a nonprofit that supports foster families. We wrap around foster families with emotional support and practical support on an ongoing basis to stabilize foster families. So that looks like cleaning service, laundry service, lawn care services, just ongoing care. And then on the emotional end, it's providing therapy for foster parents.
So that's how you define wraparound services.
Yes. So the families get to choose what services they everybody does therapy, and then they kind of get to choose what services they feel like would serve their family the best in this current season. And that changes. So our families sometimes will say, okay, I think we're good on this area, but we're really struggling here. And so it's kind of an ongoing holistic care.
And why are wraparound services so important for foster families?
Yeah, I think a huge misconception with foster care is how much it really drains you and how burned out you get. And we looked at some of the statistics in our foster care classes, you know, and seeing that 50% of foster parents quit within the first year. And I was like, that's crazy. And then you start doing foster care and you quickly realize why, because it's so easy to get burned out and want to quit or just start to see yourself grow unhealthy. And that was something, you know, probably a year in, I was like, I need to go to therapy because you're absorbing all of this trauma from these kids. Mm. They don't really even know all the trauma they've had, and you don't know. And so it starts to come out in their behavior and in things going on in your home, and you're just trying to manage it all. And so I always like think about the story in Exodus when Moses was fighting the battle and his arms had to be up to fight the battle, and his arms were super tired. And so Aaron and Hur came up and held up his arms and like put a bench under his butt because Moses was the one that was called to do that. So they couldn't like put their arms up and just be like, we'll take over for you. They had to support him doing that. And I feel like that's such a clear picture. Like, you have called to be a foster parent and you're really the one that's going to be pouring into these kids the most effective way. It's not going to be a mentor coming in, or those things are great, but the foster parent is the one that really needs to invest. And so what we're doing is giving them the emotional support to do that, but also giving them time back in their schedule so that they have the capacity time-wise and emotional-wise to pour into their kids that way.
I love this because this is a way that everybody can get involved. We can be the people holding up the hands of someone mm-hmm. else. I have a few dear friends who have fostered, and a couple of them have been adopted. But that journey of walking with them through the fostering process was so eye-opening to me. And as someone who I'm passionate about parenting and kids, but I've never felt like that was my role that I was supposed to take on, but always have felt like, how do I be a part of that? Because that's so needed for our communities. Like, communities thrive when children are healthy and they have healthy mm-hmm. attachments and know how to function in society. Mm-hmm. So I love that Fosterlight is, you're not just providing help and solution for foster families and foster youth, but you're providing an opportunity for the entire community to play a role mm-hmm. in that health as well.
Yeah. Since we started doing foster care, I mean, thousands of times people have been like, what can we do to help? What can we do to help? I just feel like there's this massive group of people that wants to help, but they don't really know how. And then there's this, you know, all the foster parents needing help. So I'm like, okay, let's join those two things together. The people that want to help and the people that need help. I can be the bridge, you know?
So how do people like me, who those masses that say, we want to help, how do we help?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different ways, of course. Following us on social media is a really helpful way to, for people to learn kind of what we're about, but also just statistics about foster care and what foster care is and what it feels like to be in foster care or to be a foster parent. That's one piece. And then there are different things that that groups of people will do as far as meal trains or putting baskets together for schools out for summer or a Halloween basket or a Valentine's Day basket that we drop on the family's porches just to give them some love, also give them some activities for their kids to do. And then
I'm sure you take monetary donations.
Well, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Always.
A huge piece. Yes, of course. Give us your money. No, a huge piece of what we do is fundraising for this wraparound care. Something that I feel passionate about is consistency for our families. And so in order to do that, you know, our services, cleaning services, laundry services, lawn care, organizational services, those are all outsourced to people who do that every day. And so they do that every day. They do it well. They give us discounts, but they always show up for our families. And if it's a volunteer, you know, people get sick and people go on vacation and then the foster family is left, you know, feeling more isolated than they already do. Yeah. And so a huge piece of what we do in order to have that consistency is raise money so that we can pay our, you know, pay the people that are doing the services for our families. So it's like, you know, if someone wants to serve a foster family, I don't have time to go do laundry for this foster family, but sure, I'll give $50 a month so that that kid can have clean clothes every day to school and give that mom 3 hours back with her kids.
Yeah, that's so good. What motivated you to start Foster Light? Was there a moment in your life, a specific story? What was the inspiration?
So when I was 9 years old, probably around 9 years old, I went to this foster home community with my grandmother. She supported a kid there. And, you know, she's like, we need to stop by and drop this off. And we were walking around this community and it's all foster kids, you know, playing at this park. And I remember just being like, just having this feeling like, I'm going to do this someday, you know? And so fast forward years later, my husband and I had two biological kids. And both of us just felt like it was time to do foster care. And so when we started, that's kind of when it was glaringly obvious the huge gaps of resources and support that was missing for foster families. And so from that dream as a child to being a foster parent myself and seeing the huge need for families, quality families, to be foster parents long term, I just started daydreaming about what it would be like to be fully supported and what it would take, you know, to be fully, what would it take to support foster families in a holistic way? Is it just going to be, we'll take a basket when you get a new placement or a meal once a month? I'm like, that's not going to sustain them. It needs to, I want to move the needle. I want kids to be leaving foster care healthier and more whole than when they came into foster care, whether they're going home to their biological family, whether they're aging out of the system, 20,000 kids a year are doing that, or they're getting adopted. I want them to have grown up in a healthy household.
Can you talk about some of those staggering statistics that surround foster care? Not just those in foster care, but those that are giving the care as well.
Yeah. So 50% of foster parents quit within the first year. And typically it's not because of the kids. It's because of burnout and lack of support. There are about like 400,000 kids in the United States that are in foster care. And about 100,000 of those are waiting to be adopted. So they're in group homes or foster homes kind of waiting. 30% of kids that are in foster care will switch homes probably 3 to 6 times during their time in care. I've talked to a former foster youth that said she lived in 40 homes. So it's a very wide variety of, you know, depending on a kid's experience. So that's a new school, a new family, a new home, new rules. It's just a massive trauma every time they move. So 20,000 kids are aging out every year. 50% of foster kids graduate from high school. Less than 3% of them will go to college. 1 in 4 of them will experience homelessness, you know, after they get out of foster care. And this is crazy. 70% of trafficking victims grew up in foster care. 70%. That's crazy.
Wow.
So vulnerable, you know, they are vulnerable people. Yeah. And they were not given support as a child. You know, I've met with tons of former foster youth to just understand them and where they're coming from and what their life was like and what they needed as a child. And so asking them, what would have changed your life as a child besides having healthy biological parents? And they were just like, having one home.
Wow.
Being in one home with parents who loved me, you know? And that is asking a ton, unfortunately, in our country, you know? I mean, most kids don't get that.
Wow. That's really staggering. If you have permission to share, I know that not everybody wants their story broadcast, but do you have a specific story of a child or a foster family that you could share with us that is an example of human kindness at work through Foster Light?
Yes. So at Christmas time, we did a big party for our foster families. And Preston Refrigeration, a company, decided to give the kids 3 presents each. And they got the kids likes and dislikes and favorites and et cetera. And someone went out and shopped and actually bought presents specifically for those children. And they wrapped them and they were all stacked up. And my, you know, we had the party at my house and it was like a mountain of gifts, you know, and the kids all came in. And there's a kid that had just come into care probably in the 3 months before that, around 8 or 9 years old. And his foster mom told me that as they're getting ready for Christmas, he was asking a lot of like interesting questions. And so they were like, where is he getting with this? He was asking all these questions about gifts. And she was like, he had never received a gift in his life. Like literally birthday, Christmas, nothing. And he was like, actually, wait, one time my teacher, she bought me a coat and she put it in a big bag with like paper coming out of the top. And it looked like on like a present you see on TV. And that was like the only gift he'd had. So I knew this coming into this party. And, you know, we're doing this party. I'm standing over by the stack of presents. Everybody's, I mean, it's complete chaos, of course. And he comes over and he's like, whose presents are these? And I was like, let's find yours, you know, and I look and I'm like, point to his. And he was like, that's my name. And I'm like, yeah, this is for you. All 3 of these are for you, actually. And he was like, for what? And I was like, these are your Christmas presents. And he was like, for me? To take home? Oh my gosh, like freaking out, like so excited, ran and got his sister, dragged her over there. Look, this has my name on it. And these have your name on it. And we get to take them home. These are ours to keep forever. Like we get to, like, he was just so excited. And he'll never forget that. He'll never forget the way it felt to see his name on a gift, to have the feeling of being seen in that way, and to open those presents and be like, whoa, this is actually stuff that I really love.
Wow, that's so beautiful. I have tears, real tears. That's so beautiful. What a gift to make them feel seen.
Yeah, and you know, when I went and talked to Preston Refrigeration, to their team that they had given the presents, I was able to tell them that story and say, like, one of you guys bought this kid's first gift he ever got.
Wow.
What a gift for them to have been able to do that too.
Yeah. Katie, I'm thinking about people listening to this who maybe they have been foster parents. They have gone through that process and they were among the statistic, the 50% that quit. What would you say to them?
I would say it makes so much sense why you quit. And there's space for grace in all of it. And feeling passionate about foster care doesn't mean you have to be a foster parent. So it might not be the season. It might not be the stage of life. It might not be where your brain and heart are right now. And honestly, like if we wouldn't have had the same case for so long, we would have quit because we're just drowning. And so I completely understand when people quit.
Mm-hmm.
We have some friends that did foster care for a short period of time and it was miserable for them. And they just, it was really affected their biological kids in negative ways. And now they just donate to Foster Light every month. And that's kind of their way of being involved and saying, like, we couldn't do it in this season because it messed with our kids too much. But we believe that God has called other people to do that right now. And so we're going to help fund them in their support. So there's just so many ways to be involved without actually having the kids in your home. And of course, not everyone can do kids in their home in every season of their life. You know, that's just not realistic. Does that answer your question?
It does. I ask it because after walking with some friends through their fostering journey, you know, they had to say no to a couple of kids that they really wanted. And it was so painful for them and still is to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like a hole in their heart that they couldn't fill that need.
Mm-hmm.
And I just imagine that there are some really good people in the world listening to this that want to be a part of the solution, but for whatever reason, can't fulfill that role that maybe they thought. So yeah, I think you answered that beautifully as there's a part for all of us to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't have to be the actual foster parent,
mm-hmm.
but all of us can help make a difference in this area of foster care.
Mm-hmm. And we, you know, our girls, we have four sisters and they have a little brother and we had him for about 5 months last year. And then some of our good friends took him, but even saying no to him, oh, it still breaks my heart, even though I know he's in a great place and I think that's where God wants him to be. But, oof, that was hard, you know?
Yeah.
To put that boundary up for our family and the kids that are already in our home and say, okay, six is our max, you know?
It's such an important and also heavy space that you're working in. So for listeners that are excited, they're interested in partnering with you or somehow making a difference in the foster care system. Is there anything coming up in Kansas? You're in Kansas City and you service Kansas City area, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything coming up that those of us who are here can get involved in? That's question one. Question two is, what about people not living in Kansas City? How do they get involved and help support what's going on either in their local community or with Foster Light here in Kansas City?
Yes, I love it. So yes, we have our first gala coming up on June 1st, and we're in the, like, you know, neck deep in the planning of that, and it's going to be so fun. It's called the Golden Gala. Of course, people wear gold, my favorite. But yeah, it'll be dinner and drinks and a great band for dancing and some like whiskey tasting and maybe like a golf simulator, just all kinds of stuff. It's going to be super fun. So people can buy tickets to go to that. We're also currently looking for sponsorships for that event. So, you know, businesses or individuals sponsoring that event happening. So that's a really fun way people can get involved here in Kansas City coming up. And then people that are not in Kansas City, obviously, we have lots of people that support on a monthly basis that don't live in our city that donate. But I would say do some Googling for services or organizations around you so you can find people that are serving foster kids in your community and ways that you can be a part of serving kids that live 5 minutes from you. There's so many great organizations. Hopefully someday Foster Light will spread across the nation and we'll have offices in all the places. But for now, it's just Kansas City.
That's awesome. Hey, if listeners want to know more about you or Foster Light, where can they find you online?
Yes. So at fosterlight.co is our Instagram and Facebook. Fosterlight.co is our website. I'm on Instagram at hello, it's Katie Welch for my personal and family chaos. And yeah.
That's awesome. So if you're in Kansas City, grab a ticket to the Golden Gala June 1st, right?
June 1st.
And head on over to their website to find out more. Please follow them on Instagram. It's a joy to watch what you're doing there and your content is so good.
Thank you.
So I think you're doing such important work. You've made it easy for Kansas City to put human kindness to work by supporting foster families. So thank you for that. Thanks for your heart, for these amazing parents who are welcoming kids into their family. And I just think what you're doing is so necessary. And you're making a difference here in our community. So thank you.
Thank you so much for your kind words.
Thanks for being here.
It was so fun. So fun to chat.
Yeah. Take care.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. It's a great way to help others discover the podcast and be inspired to make a difference right where they are. Until next time, keep an eye out for human kindness at work in your world. Whether it's big or small, it all matters. See you next time.